الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we resume this evening a work that we have begun several months ago, a work by the great Imam Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab رحمه الله تعالى، مسائل الجاهلية، مسائل الجاهلية، the affairs of the days of ignorance, also known as al-masail allati khalafa fiha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahl al-jahiliyyah, the affairs or the issues that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he opposed the people of ignorance with regards to. And we have had a number of classes previously discussing some important issues with regards to the affairs of al-jahiliyyah and the definition of jahl and the different types of al-jahl. And also along with that, we had begun reading the introduction of the author, and a number of benefits have proceeded with regards to that. And also we have read the first mas'ala and the second mas'ala. But just to review briefly, seeking the help and the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking Him from His grace and mercy to make these classes a benefit and a light for us and a proof for us and not against us. Al-jahiliyyah. Al-jahiliyyah is from al-jahil, yani from ignorance, not having knowledge. But to summarize that which has preceded the people of knowledge, they mention that al-jahiliyyah hiya wasfun fi halatin qabla al-islam. Wasfun fi halatin qabla al-islam. It is a description. It is a description for the state that the people were upon before al-islam. Min al-aqa'id wal-aqwali wal-a'mal. From the different creeds and statements and deeds, التي جاء الإسلام بردها وبالتحذير منها. التي جاء الإسلام بردها والتحذير منها. That which Islam has come to refute and to reject and to warn from. So this is with regards specifically. Al-Jahiliyyah was a period of time before al-Islam, and whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he came and he found his people upon jahiliyyah and upon ignorance, and therefore he was sent with guidance and light, and he rectified those affairs. So there are a number of issues from creed and belief, and likewise from statements and actions and deeds that the people of al-jahiliyyah they were upon, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opposed them and clarified the falsehood of that and warned from that. Opposed them in that and clarified the falsehood of that and warned from that. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these are those issues. These are those issues, and this is of utmost importance, especially in these days, whenever these affairs, they are present. They are present in the societies, especially in this society, and even they're being revived amongst the ummah. And some people, they are calling to them and establishing them, and even some of them, in the name of al-Islam, wa'iyadhu billah. So to learn about these ways of falsehood and these ways of ignorance in order to know them, in order to know them so that a person, he can avoid them upon clarity. And if he was involved in them before, he will leave them immediately. Whenever he finds that these are affairs that are in opposition to the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِيَهْلَكْ مَنْ هَلَكَ عَنْ بَيِّنَا وَيَحْيَ مَنْ حَيَّ عَنْ بَيِّنَا. So that the one who will be destroyed, he'll be lost in the failure, he can do that upon clarity. And likewise, the one who wants to live, the one who hopes to live a good life, a life of goodness and benefit, then he can do that likewise upon clarity. And as the poet, he says, عَرَفْتُ أَشَرَّ لَا لِشَرِّ لَكِنْ لِتَوَقِيهِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَعْرِفِ الشَّرَّ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ يَقَعْ فِيهِ. That I learn about the evil not for the sake of the evil, but in order to avoid it. And whoever does not know the difference between evil and good, then he will fall into it. And all of these affairs, they have proceeded, but indeed they're of utmost importance to review, to take into account. And the Salaf, they would say, رَحِيمُهُمْ اللَّهِ كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear or avoid something he does not know what to fear and avoid? And many people, they are engaged in these affairs here specifically, al-jahiliyyah, wa'iyadhu billah, from the believers, from those who ascribe to al-Islam, from the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They themselves on a daily basis are involved in these affairs of jahiliyyah, or some of them. Some of them, they even think that it's deen. they even think that it's deen. It's been so they've been so confused, and they have such a great misunderstanding with these affairs, and ignorance has taken a great root in their heart, wa'iyadhu billah, and misguidance, that they believe that some of these affairs is the religion and the deen, is the religion and the deen, and this is because they did not have knowledge, they did not have light, and they're not able to identify or to distinguish between that which is good and that which is and that which is evil, between that which is truth and that which is falsehood, and between that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from creed, statement, and deed, from that which is displeasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala from the likes of these affairs. كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody avoid or stay away from something if he does not know what to stay away from and avoid? And we all know the well-known narration of Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu. What did he used to say? كَنَ النَّاسِ يَسَّلُونَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُ كَانَ النَّاسُ يَسْأَلُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ عَنِ الْخَيْرِ وَكُنْتُ أَسْأَلُهُ عَنِ الشَّرِّ مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي. That the people they used to ask the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم about the goodness, and this is the majority of their questions. He said, "And as for me, then I used to ask about the evil, any more times than not, any more than others. I used to ask about the evil, مَخَافَةَ أَنْ يُدْرِكَنِي." Afraid that it will catch up with me, and afraid that I may fall into it. So no doubt, barakallahu fikum, it's incumbent upon every believer to learn the religion, to learn the deen, to learn about al-Islam, to learn about the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the aspects of that, and how to believe properly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, to learn about the pillars of faith, and how to establish the pillars of al-Islam in one's life properly and correctly, to learn the deen clearly, to have insight with regards to that. But it's not sufficient, and a person, he will not truly know Islam properly and correctly, and he will not truly be able to purify the tawheed, and likewise the sunnah in his life, until he learns about shirk in detail. Shirk and the different avenues of shirk and how it occurs, and likewise disbelief and hypocrisy and how it occurs, and the many different aspects that it occurs in the heart, and likewise on the tongue and in the body parts, how these affairs happen and how they occur and how they can creep into one's life, wa'iyadhu billah, so that one can avoid that, so that his Islam can be pure and his Islam can be good. And likewise, learning about the affairs that are contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his laws and legal ways, so that one, he will not be affected by innovation, and he will be able to identify that falsehood easily. He will be able to identify that falsehood easily, either in detail or in general. Either in detail or at least in general, because he has light. He has light, he knows. كَذَلِكَ نُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ وَلِتَسْتَبِينَ سَبِيلُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. And in this manner, Allah Azza wa Jalla, in His book, He clarifies and details His signs and proofs and evidences, and in order for the ways of the criminals to become clear. So a person, he must know the way of the messengers, and the best of them, the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, he must know the ways of the criminals, the ways of the deviant, the ways of the mushrikum, of the mushrikun in the time of Quraysh specifically. And likewise, all the way up until this day, and the people of falsehood, and the people of al-jahiliyyah, and the people of al-jahiliyyah. And likewise, one, he must also learn about sins and everything that will invalidate the Islam or bring a weakness to it. In this manner, the Islam can be preserved and cherished and maintained and kept strong and good and beneficial. But if a person, he does not know falsehood and he does not know evil, then his Islam is at jeopardy. Then his Islam, his tawheed, his iman, his faith, his deen is at jeopardy. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So this is from the wisdom of authoring the likes of these works. And we had discussed the al-masala al-ula, and this was that the first issue, and this was that the people of al-jahiliyyah, they used to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, that He is the creator and the provider and the sustainer, and that all command and authority was in the hands of Allah alone, and that Allah, He sends the rain from the sky, and that Allah, He has power and authority. But along with that belief, they used to take intercessors with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that they would draw them near to Allah. وَمَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. That's what they would claim. And we do not worship them or devote these actions of worship to them except in order for them to bring us near to Allah Azza wa Jal. هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They would claim that they are intercessors with Allah. So this was their creed and their belief. This is what they were upon. This was مِلَّةُ عَبْدُ الْمُطَّلِبِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to refute and to clarify the falsehood of. That he came and refuted and clarified the falsehood of And he called to the opposite of that, which is that ikhlas. Ikhlasu al-ibadah lillahi wahdahu la sharika lah. To make the religion purely and sincerely, and all actions of worship devoted to Allah alone, with no partners. With no partners. So this is the biggest affair, the greatest affair, the greatest affair that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed Ahl al-Jahiliyyah with regards to the issue of ibadah. The issue of ibadah, that every aspect of ibadah, whether it's with the heart or with the tongue or with the body parts or with the wealth, every aspect, major and minor, it must be devoted and directed to Allah alone with no partners. It's the sole right of Allah Azza wa Jal alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala lillahi ad-dinul khalis. Wa ma umiru illa liya'budu allaha mukhlisina lahu ad-din. Wa abudu allaha wa la tushriku bihi shay'a. Wa qadha rabbuka alla ta'budu illa iyyahu. So many evidences have proceeded with regards to this. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْفِصَامَ لَهَا. So this was with regards to the first issue that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opposed his people with regards to. Whenever he came to them, this is what he said to them. يَا قَوْمِ قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْرِحُوا. Oh my people, say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ and you will be successful. And they understood from this that they must devote all actions of worship to Allah alone, and this is why they refused. And they said, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَا إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Is he trying to make all of the gods one god? أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. So they refused, many of them. But those whom Allah had chosen accepted the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, followed him and aided him and became from the best of mankind, radiallahu anhum, his noble companions. This was the first issue. The second issue was with regards to al-furqa wa adam al-ijtima', that the people of the jahiliyyah, they were divided. They were divided. And this is stemming from the first issue. This is stemming from the first issue because they worship many different gods, and they worship their different gods in many different manners. So therefore their religions were different and they were divided in this affair. They had ma'budat kathira. They had many different objects of worship. So because of this, they will not be united. And this is the reality of ishirk. Ishirk yufarriq wa la yajma'. Ishirk yufarriq wa la yajma'. Shirk, it divides and it does not unite. It does not unite. So the people of shirk, this one he's worshipping this idol, and that one he's worshipping this idol, and this one he's worshipping the sun, and this one he's worshipping the jinn, and this one he's worshipping this one, and this one in this manner, and that one in that manner, and they're all divided in this reality. And they're all divided in this reality, and this is how they were. And they all believed, and each one of them, that their God is better than the other God and the likes like this. And they would make al-iftikhar, bragging and boasting about their gods, and about their idols and their objects of worship. And this is something well known. So they were divided and they were not united. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he ordered them to unite and to not be divided. He ordered them to unite, and he forbade them from being divided. This is from the fundamentals of the call of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the reality of at-tawheed. That at-tawheed, it unites. At-tawheed, it unites. And likewise the sunnah. In this manner, the religion can be one. Whenever there is Tawheed and Ittiba', Tawheed and Ittiba'. And in this issue here, the second issue, we discussed a number of great benefits with regards to that, and seen a number of verses in the Book of Allah, and likewise a number of narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reality of that unity is in following the Quran and the Sunnah with the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. In this manner, there's unity. Even if a person were to claim that he's following the Quran and the Sunnah, it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient, because one, he may understand the Quran and the Sunnah in one light, you can read the Quran and I can read the Quran, and maybe we'll differ in its understanding or in the interpretation of the verse. You can read a hadith and I can read a hadith, and maybe we'll differ in the understanding of that narration. But there's a correct understanding. There's a correct understanding that these texts and evidences were revealed for and intended in the revelation of them. And that understanding is identified in the understanding of the Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, and the scholars of hadith after them, from the Tabi'een and the Atba'. At-tabi'een radiyallahu anhum, and those upon that way until this day. So these are from the affairs that have proceeded, from the details and clarifications that have proceeded in the previous classes. Alhamdulillah. So we continue now reading al-thalitha, yani al-masala al-thalitha. And the author, he says, rahimahullah, anna mukhalafata wali al-amr wa adama al-inqiyadi lahu fadila. وَالسَّمْعَ وَطَاعَةَ لَهُ ذُلٌّ وَمَهَانَةٌ. Dhulun wa Mahan. The third affair that the author, he mentions from the affairs of the days of Al-Jahiliyyah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed with regards to that, to differ and to be in contradiction with the ruler, and with the government ruler, and to not comply to him or submit to him is considered a virtue and something good. It's considered a virtue and something good. This is what they were upon. They would not have a ruler, one of them over them, that they would all unite behind. This is something that they did not believe to be virtuous or good. Rather, they considered that to be lowly and disgraceful. They considered that to be lowly and disgraceful. And so they would have tribes, and this tribe would fight that tribe, and that tribe would fight that tribe, and they would be divided and not united. And they would be at each other's throats, and they would not have peace. And they would not have security and safety. And this was their way. They did not appoint one individual to be a leader and ruler in charge of all of their affairs over all of them. Rather, they considered that to do this to be a disgrace and humiliation. They considered this to be a disgrace and humiliation. They need to listen and to obey to one individual in this manner and to give him obedience, the obedience that the civilians that will give to the ruler and the government. They consider this to be a type of disgrace and humiliation. أن مخالفة ولي الأمر وعدم الانقياد له فضيلة فضيلة فضيلة. They consider to oppose him and to not listen to him or comply to him, they consider this to be a virtue. They consider this to be something virtuous, bravery and strength and courage and the likes like this, and we don't need him and we don't need those people and we know better than, and the likes like this. They consider this issue here to be virtuous. وَسَمْعَ وَالطَّاعَةَ لَهُ ظُلُّ وَمَهَانَ. And that in listening and obeying the ruler, the ruling authority, and in listening and obeying the ruling authority, this is considered degradation and humiliation. So the author, he says, رحمه الله فخالفهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمرهم بالصبر على جور الولاة وأمر بالسمع والطاعة لهم والنصيحة وَغَلَّظَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَأَبْدَى فِيهِ وَأَعَادِ. So the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he opposed them in that. He opposed them in this specifically. Yani, what does it mean to oppose? To go head on with somebody. To have direct conflict. They go, he says this, you say no. He says this, you say no. They have direct conflict. Like this. So they were going this way with this issue. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came head on with them and said, this is wrong and not right. And he forbade that and ordered them with the opposite of that. With the opposite of that. They were on one way, and that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with was a complete another way with regards to this. So they were considering this to be lowly, considering this to be degradation, and they would not submit or surrender to that. They did not like it, nor did they want to do it, and nor would they implement it in their life. Nor were they implement in their life. Rather, they considered opposing that to be virtuous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam opposed them in that precisely. Opposed them in that precisely. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered them to be patient, with the oppression of the rulers. He ordered them to be patient with the oppression of the rulers. And he ordered them to listen and to obey them and to give them sincere advice. And he was very stern in this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he clarified and he mentioned it time after time. And he clarified and he mentioned it time after time. Any of these words from the author, rahimahullahu ta'ala, although they're brief and summarized in this manner, the one who looks into the authentic text with regards to this affair, he'll find that it's precisely what he's mentioning. It's precisely what he's mentioning. And this is the way of the people of Al-Jahiliyyah. So, barakallahu fikum, opposing the ruler. Opposing the ruler outwardly. And likewise in private, and outwardly, and public, and also in private. Opposing him in this manner, this is from the ways of Al-Jahiliyyah. And this is contrary to the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the fundamental principle. So those people who are calling for revolution and revolting against the rulers, then they're in reality upon the ways of the people of Al-Jahiliyyah, and they're in opposition to one of the greatest foundations and fundamentals of the deen that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called to and was upon. The very first people to oppose this principle from those who ascribe to Al-Islam, they were the Khawarij in the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib ibn radiyallahu anhu. They're the first ones to oppose this principle, yani, and to announce this revolt and to declare the Muslim ruler to be a disbeliever or to refuse to obey him and listen to him. And they rejected his authority. And they rejected his authority. And in turn, many mafasid and evils came about from that. And from that is that the blood of the Muslims was shed because they drew their swords on them and they started fighting them. So there's great evils that come about from opposing the rulers. From opposing the rulers, and for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered the people to be patient upon the oppressions of the rulers. We will look into this affair, inshallah, with some detail in the book of Allah azza wa jalla first and foremost, and likewise in the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as well some statements from the Salaf, rahimahum Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says in his book, ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس. That corruption has appeared in land and in sea because of that which the hands of mankind has earned. So the evils that we see that occur in the land, and on the sea, what is the cause of that? The Muslim ruler, is his fault? What does Allah say? Zahara al-fasad. From what? Fil barri wal-bahr. The fasad has appeared. Corruption and evil has appeared in the land and in the sea. Bima kasabat aidi an-nas. From that which the hands of mankind has worked. So this is from the sins of the people in general. Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned in his book, إِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَ فِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. Pay attention to these verses and the context and the topic that we're discussing. Barakallahu fikum. إِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً. Allah, he says, إِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً. If we want to destroy, and if we have decreed and we intend to destroy a village, a city, a town, أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَ فِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. Amarna mutrafiha. We ordered the mutrafiha. What is the mutrafun? Who's the mutrafun? The wealthy and the extravagant. The wealthy and the rich and the extravagant people. Whenever we want to destroy a village or a town, what will we do? What does Allah, he say? We will order the extravagant and the rich and the wealthy amongst them. Fafasaku fiha. And they will work corruption in the earth. And they will work corruption in that land. And they will work corruption in that land. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. And at this time, the statement, you need a decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, will be established, and we will destroy that town completely and entirely. And we'll destroy that town completely and entirely. So we pay attention. What did Allah say? إِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا هُ مُتْرَفِيهَا وَحُكَّامَهَا حَكِمِيهَا. Al-Hukam, if we intend to destroy a village and to wipe out a town, did Allah, he say that we will order its rulers to cause corruption in the land? Huh? Allah didn't say that, subhanah. What did he say? He will order, huh? The wealthy and the extravagant. The wealthy and the extravagant, فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلُ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا. So it's the mutrafun. They're the ones who are causing corruption in the earth. Whenever Allah, he wants to destroy a land, then he will order the wealthy and the extravagant to work corruption in that land. And at this time, after they work that corruption, the proof is established against them, and the decree of Allah will befall them, and they will be destroyed. So the point is, barakallahu fikum, the doubt that many people they have with regards to this affair, and they say, oh, the ruler. Al-Hukam. Al-Hukam al-Fasaqa, al-Hukam this, al-Hukam that. They're always blaming everything on the ruler. Every problem in the society is the ruler's fault. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified that the fasad and the corruption that happens is at the hands of all mankind, not just the ruler. Rather, whenever Allah intends to destroy a town, he will order the rulers to cause corruption and then they'll cause corruption, right? Like the people, they claim that it's the rulers causing corruption. Just get rid of the ruler, that everything's going to be better now. That's what they claim, right? Get rid of the ruler and everything's going to be better. Have we, in our lifetime, have we seen that? How many rulers have been gotten rid of? How many rulers did they get rid of, or they attempt to get rid of? Has the affairs gotten better or worse? They got worse because this is not the proper way. This is not the proper way. So the point is to understand this issue here. That it's not the rulers. Yani it's not the rulers only. That is the means of causing corruption. Rather, it's our hands. It's our hands. And if we hope to rectify our society, we should start by rectifying our souls and rectifying our households and those under our care and our authority. And in this manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rectify the community and the society. So it's not in the hands of the rulers. And in reality, the rulers, they only come from us. From us. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book, وَكَذَلِكُ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Pay attention to these verses, barakallahu fikum. وَكَذَلِكُ نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And like this, Allah, He says, that we set in charge the oppressors one over the other. That we set in charge, meaning giving authority to the oppressors one over the other. وَكَذَلِكُ نُوَلِّي. We give the wilaya, we give the authority, we give the government power. نُوَلِّي بَعْضَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا. The people of oppression, some of them one over the other. Why? بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Because of the deeds that they used to do. Because of the evil that they worked. So those corrupt rulers, if they are truly corrupted, they're only one of us. And they come from us. And they come from us. And so he's one of us. He grew up amongst us. And the likes like this. He went to school with us. In our lands, and he grew up in our society, and he's like we are, and he's like we are. And that means, again, if we rectify our affair and we strive to rectify another generation, those after us, then the ruler will come from them, and he will be righteous, and he will be upright, and he will be good. You understand? But so long as we're corrupt and we have no care for the religion, and we show preference to this life over the hereafter, and anytime, if there's ever a conflict between the commands of Allah and our desires and a dollar, then we will blatantly disregard the commands of Allah and chase a dollar into our death. Then those who come after us likewise are going to do the same thing. They're going to do the same thing. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So it goes back to us, barakallahu fikum, rectifying our soul. That's why we sit in the masjid like this, in this manner. Ahl sunnah, the calling people to come to class, to sit in the dars, to study the likes of these texts, so that you can rectify your soul, so that you can go home and work on your family, so that you can strive to be upright and fear Allah in public and in private, in the masjid and in the neighborhood, in the market, and on the occupation, wherever you go, and raise a family that will be like that likewise, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees that the situation will change, and He will raise the humiliation. And He will raise the humiliation. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned in His book, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah, He will not change the condition of a people until they change that which is within themselves. That which is within themselves. And that Allah, He will not change the condition of a people. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah, He will not change the condition of a people from bad to good until they first change themselves. And they make effort to change from bad to good. Make a little bit of effort, be sincere, repent to Allah, feel bad, have remorse for violating His rights, and strive against your soul. Allah will change you. Allah will make you better. Allah will take that from your heart, and He will make you detest those evils that you used to desire and love, and He will cause you to love His deen. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a favor from Allah, but you have to make effort. You can't have false hopes. You can't have false dreams. You have to strive in the path of Allah a little bit. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He is al-Ghafoor, al-Shakoor. He is the all-forgiving, and He is the most thankful. So if you're sincere in your repentance and you work a little bit, He will bless you. He will bless you. But if you claim to make repentance, but you do not make any effort whatsoever, then this is not a sign of true repentance. This is not a sign of true repentance. So barakallahu fikum, for our circumstance to change, for our circumstance to change from bad to good, we must make effort. We all know the narration of the one who killed 99 men, and then he killed after that one more, making it 100. Whenever he finally realized that there was hope for him and that Allah will forgive his sins, what was he ordered to do? To go to another land, to leave the land where he's at with those bad people, and to go to another land away from them where there's good people. So that's from the completion and the perfection of the repentance. And likewise, taking those means, that person, if he's involved in this sin or this foul and bad way, he has to leave those people along with repenting. He will repent, and then he will leave those people and leave the means that lead to that bad sin. So he will repent, feel bad, and then take the means to get away from that. He will not repent. And a person, he will not repent in his heart and on his tongue, and then keep going to the same place and hanging out with the same people. because the one who goes to the same place and hangs out with the same people, regardless of how hard he tries, he's going to wind up doing the same thing. The same thing. This is the reality of the human being. This is the reality of the human being. You cannot go to the same place with the same people and think you're going to start doing something different. I think you're going to start doing something different. We understand this. This is very important. We can't hang out with the people of innovation or the people of sin or the people of misguidance or those who listen to music and the likes like this or those who have girlfriend and boyfriend. We can't hang out with them in those places and the likes like that and think that we're going to repent and change and get better, or that we're not going to still keep doing those things that we don't want to do anymore, or that we know that's from jahiliyyah, or it's forbidden, or that it's forbidden or displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have to repent, no doubt. But from that also is taking the means to close those avenues and shut those doors and get away from them. So in this manner, this is the means of rectification, rectifying the soul first, and then the household and the family, and those under one's care. In this manner, the society is rectified, and in this manner, the ruler, he will be upright. You understand? This is very clear, alhamdulillah, but this is something that takes time. And it takes effort, and it's not easy. And for this reason, the Khawarij, they can't wait, so they just pull out their swords, right? Or now what do? They just pull out their bombs. What do you have to be like? Just blow everybody up. Forget it. This is too hard, right? And this is the foul and lowly way. This is the foul and lowly way. So what did the author, he say, rahimahullah ta'ala, here? So the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amara bisam'i wa ta'ati lahum. وَالنَّصِيحَةِ وَغَلَّظَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَأَبْدَ فِيهِ وَعَدْ. And Allah Azza wa Jal, he ordered the people, the Muslims, his followers, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to listen and to obey. And he ordered them to give sincere advice and be truthful in that, not be dishonest in their advice. And he was stern and harsh. وَغَلَّظَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَغَلَّظَ فِي ذَلِكَ أَتَغْلِيظَ يَنِي تَشِدَّ وَقُوَّ أَشِدَّ وَقُوَّ. He was harsh. He was stern about that. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa abda fihi wa ad. And he clarified in great detail, and he mentioned time after time. Meaning that if we look into the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's not one narration. There's not one narration about this issue. There's not two narrations about this issue. There's not three narrations. There's many narrations about this issue. There's many narrations about this issue from many different aspects, many different circumstances, many different times. Sometimes discussing this issue directly, and sometimes discussing the fundamentals and pillars of Islam. Sometimes discussing the issue of differing and the means of safety and savior from that, and other times from other aspects likewise. And in so many different ways, different times, this clarification has come, the obligation of listening and obeying and not rebelling against the ruler and being patient upon his oppression and the difficulties that are faced in that path for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. For the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Even in Hajjat al-Wada', sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the farewell pilgrimage, he gave many sermons. He gave many different sermons. And in more than one of these sermons, this issue was mentioned. From that, we have what is collected by Tirmidhi with a chain that is authentic. From the Haditha Abi Umama, radiallahu anhu, he says, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب في حجة الوداع. في حجة الوداع. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يخطب في حجة الوداع. I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم giving a sermon on the farewell pilgrimage. What did he say صلى الله عليه وسلم? فقال اتقوا الله ربكم. He mentioned a number of affairs. Number one, اتقوا الله ربكم. Fear Allah your Lord. Fear Allah your Lord by believing in Him and striving to comply to His commandments and perform them, hoping for His reward and mercy, and by avoiding His prohibitions and staying away from them, fearing His punishment and wrath. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, ittaqu Allaha rabbakum. That's number one. Wasallu khamsakum. And pray your five daily prayers. Fear your Lord. Fear Allah your Lord. And pray your five daily prayers. Wasumu shahrakum. And fast your month. Which month is that? Ramadan. وَأَدُّوا زَكَاتَ أَمْوَالِكُمْ. And perform the obligatory charity on your wealth. This is the fourth affair, right? وَأَطِيعُوا ذَا أَمْرِكُمْ. And obey the one who has authority over you. The one who has authority over you. If you do this, what happens? تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ. If you do this, you will enter the Jannah of your Lord. You enter the Jannah of your Lord. We know that on the farewell pilgrimage, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knows that he's not going to live much longer. This is something he was aware of. And he mentioned that. I'm afraid that I will not meet you after this year of mine. I'm afraid that I'm not going to see you after this year of yours. And he, something he was aware of. So the advices that he gave, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in this particular time, were very inclusive, encompassing, and very sincere and important. Very sincere and important. So here are five affairs. All of them are from the greatest aspects of the religion. And these affairs, it's mentioned here that if you do them, you will enter paradise. So if you don't do them, what happens? It's jeopardizing paradise. You understand that? So number one, ittaqu Allah rabbakum, fear Allah your Lord. Wasallu khamsakum, and pray your five daily prayers. Wasumu shahrakum, and fast the month of yours, month of Ramadan. Waddu zakata amwalikum, and perform the zakat, the obligatory charity on your wealth. Wa ati'u da amrikum. He mentioned the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned the obligatory salah. He mentioned the obligatory fast. He mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the obligatory charity. These are from the pillars of Islam. Coupled along with that, he mentioned, wa ati'u da amrikum, and obey the one who has authority over you. And then if you do that, what is the recompense, the reward? Tadkhulu jannata rabbikum. You will enter the jannah of your Lord. You will enter the jannah of your Lord. So this issue of obeying the one who has authority over you here is coupled with the mention of the greatest pillars of Islam. And along with the fact that this is the means to enter paradise. This is the means to enter paradise. Likewise, it is narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, collected by Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ بَعَدِي أَثَارَةً وَأَمُورًا تُنْكِرُونَهَا, that indeed you are going to see after me some preference being shown, any to the wealthy and to the rulers. Any people are going to be stingy and not give you your rights. وَأَمُورًا تُنْكِرُونَهَا, and affairs that you will reject and not accept. Indeed, you're going to see after me. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling them affairs, any meaning from the rulers, that they're going to be showing preference and taking others' rights, and showing preference to themselves and their families and the likes like this, and other affairs that you belie, and that you reject, and that you do not agree with. قَالُوا فَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said, what do you order us to do if at that time, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? قَالَ أَدُّوا إِلَيْهِمْ حَقَّهُمْ وَسَلُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّكُمْ, that you perform their right that's upon you, and you ask Allah for your right. And you're going to find from them athara. They're going to take your rights. They're going to deny your rights and show preference to themselves and their families and the likes like this, and those who are along with them and aiding and helping them. There's going to be oppression that's happening, and other affairs that you're going to disagree with and that you're going to reject and consider to be bad and no good. But what should you do at this time? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you give them their rights and you ask Allah for your right. This is in Bukhari and Muslim. Before we continue, there's a number of more narrations, and I only mentioned a few of them. And this issue, there's chapters written about this affair. Chapters in Sahih Muslim written about this affair, Kitab al-Amara. So many narrations with regards to this. But if you go back to that previous narration of Abu Umama al-Bahili radiallahu anhu, mentioning the issue of taqwa. Many believers, if we hear the issue of taqwa, what happens? Start listening. If you start talking about taqwa, al-iman, al-sadiq, al-amal al-salih, ta'at, qurubah, you start talking about obedience, surrender, submission to Allah Azza wa Jal, performing the righteous deeds, staying away from the sins. Many believers, their hearts, they melt when they start hearing these affairs. Tadkhulu jannata rabbikum, you enter the jannah of your Lord. Their hearts will melt and their tears will come to their eyes. They'll be affected from hearing the likes of this. If you talk about salah, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray, they'll listen. They'll listen attentively, take notes and the likes like this, and they'll be very engaged to learn how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prayed. If you talk about Sawm, Ramadan, the people, they will come and they'll listen and be very attentive, and they have great love to listen to the likes of these affairs. If you talk about zakat, likewise, zakat al-nafs, with zakat al-mal, with zakat al-fitr, and the likes like this, you'll find them very interested. But then all of a sudden, if you talk about وَأَلْطِيُوا ذَا أَمْرِكُمْ, and obey those who have authority over you, now their faces change. Many people, they're like this, waliyadhu billah. You know, the same one who mentioned the issue of the intention and of taqwa and of piety, the same one who came with the prayer and the zakat and the fasting and the Hajj, the same one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's ordering for these affairs likewise. Likewise, these are all from the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we must accept and believe in and follow. So here in the hadith, which is collected by Bukhari Muslim, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that we just read, it's mentioned here the issue of oppression. Oppression coming from the Muslim ruler. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَدُّ إِلَيْهِمْ حَقَّهُمْ وَسَأُوا اللَّهَ وَسَأُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّكُمْ. You perform their right that they request from you, and you ask Allah for your right. You ask Allah for your right. So this is with regards to the oppression. The author, what did he say? وَأَمَرَ بِالصَّبْرِ عَلَى جَوْرِ الْوَلَادِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered that you should be patient with the oppression of the rulers. Here's one evidence from that in Bukhari Muslim, the most authentic narration that we have from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a narration that's considered mutafiqun alayhi. This one is about this issue here that we're discussing now. Also in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Awf ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, أَلَا مَنْ وَلِيَ عَلَيْهِ وَالٍ فَرَآهُ يَأْتِي شَيْئًا مِنْ مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ فَلْيَكْرَهْ مَا يَأْتِي مِنْ مَعْسِيَةِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَنْزِعَنَّ يَدٍ مِنْ طَاعَةٍ. That indeed whoever has a ruler in charge over him and he sees something from that ruler, from the disobedience of Allah, then he should dislike that. Then he should dislike that, what he is doing from the disobedience of Allah. But he should not strip his hand from obedience whatsoever. But he should not remove his hand from obedience whatsoever. So this narration here in Sahih Muslim is with regards to seeing corruption and evil. Seeing corruption and evil, disobedience. So the first one was with regards to oppression. We have to be patient with them. If we see likewise, okay, khalas, not oppression, but disobedience. He's disobeying Allah. He's disobeying the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's doing sins, riba, or this one, or that one. Like they say, right? Oh, he's doing interest, or he's doing that one, or he's doing this one. All of them that are sins, that are lesser than major disbelief. In this case, likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam abda fihi wa'ad. He clarified the details of that, and he mentioned it time after time. Then he said, wala yanzi'anna. If you see the ruler, anyone who has someone in charge over him, a ruler in charge over him, and he is performing actions of disobedience to Allah, then let him dislike the actions of disobedience to Allah, but let him not take his hand away from obedience, and not even the hand. Let him not disobey him whatsoever. Let him not disobey him whatsoever. And we know that we're ordered to obey the ruler fil ma'ruf. Innama ta'atu fil ma'ruf. That you only obey anyone, the ruler or your father or mother or anyone, the imam, in that which is ma'ruf, in that which is lawful and legislated. As for in that which is disobedience, then there's no obedience to the creation and the disobedience of Allah. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الله, which is well known. So this is the issue here in Sahih Muslim. Likewise, from the haditha of Abu Dharr, also in Sahih Muslim, رضي الله عنه, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, كيف أنت إذا كان عليك أمراء يؤخرون الصلاة عن وقتها ويميتون الصلاة عن وقتها. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to Abu Dharr, رضي الله عنه, what are you going to do whenever you have leaders an authority over you and they delay the prayer in its proper time? What are you going to do? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asking him, what are you going to do whenever you have leaders in charge over you and authority over you and they delay the prayer from its proper time? And he had a Muslim ruler in a Muslim society in charge of the times of prayer, and he delays that prayer from its proper time. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Huh? I said, what are you going to do? We're going to read the narration and see what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Dharr to do, right? That's what we're going to do. We're going to read the narration. We're going to wait for the guidance, huh? We're going to wait. We're going to see what we're supposed to do. Qala qultum. So Abu Dharr, he says, fama ya'muruni. Look, even Abu Dharr, what does he say? He said, I'm going to do this or that. I'm going to pull out my sword. I'm going to go give them advice. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to say. He said, what do you order me to do? What do you order me to do, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What is this stemming from? What is this? And how is he given success for this response? And after the grace of Allah azza wa jal, huh? Because of his sincere faith and his strong belief that he's the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has guidance in this affair, and that which he's speaking about is not from his desires. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. What do you order me to do? Because you're the one who knows. I don't know. I can't figure this out by myself. I'm following you. You're the Messenger of Allah. You're the one I follow absolutely. So please tell me. So this is the way of the companions, and this is our way likewise. This is our way likewise. And this is something that we must strive to implement in our life to hold fast to the narrations, regardless of what the people say. This is, inshallah, coming in the next issue. And the next issue the author is going to mention. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qad, صَلِّ الصَّلَاةَ لِوَقْتِهَا فِنْ أَدْرَكْتَهَا مَعَهُمْ فَصَلِّ فَإِنَّهَا لَكَ نَافِلَةً. That you pray the prayer at its proper time, meaning in your home or where you're at. And if you catch the prayer with them, then you pray along with them likewise. And it will be a non-obligatory prayer for you. It will be considered a voluntary prayer for you. You understand that? So even you don't show outwardly that you're in opposition with them. Rather, you go ahead and pray it in your home by yourself in the proper time, because that's the right that's upon you. But then you don't go to the masjid and be like, oh man, he's delaying the prayer. We already prayed. I'm not going to pray with him. No, you go. If you go, if you happen to be in the masjid or you happen to hear the iqamah, now and the jama'ah is established in your presence, you can't just turn away from the jama'ah. Rather, what do? You go and pray with them. You join them. You join them in that prayer, and it will be considered a voluntary prayer, and you're right. It will be considered a voluntary prayer, and you're right. So what does the author say? وَغَلَّظَ فِي ذَلِكَ وَأَبْدَى فِيهِ وَعَدٍ. And the Prophet, he was very stern about this, and he clarified in great detail, and time after time. And this one is in Bukhari and Muslim. This narration is in Bukhari and Muslim, also from the Hadith of Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu. He said, إِنَّ خَرِيلِي أَوْصَانِي أَنْ أَسْمَعْ وَأُطِيعَ وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا مُجَدَّعَ الْأَطْرَافِ. That indeed, my beloved one, my Khalil, my beloved one, he ordered me, he advised and ordered me that I listen and obey the authority, even if he was a slave with cut off limbs, and with limbs that are cut off, and he's missing ligaments and missing fingers or missing a hand and the like side, or missing a nose. And even if his ligaments, and he's deformed physically and he's a slave, but he has authority, then my beloved one, Khadiri, Awsani, and Asma wa Atiya, my the one who I love dearly, had ordered me that I should listen and obey. And I should listen and obey. So then if we truly love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what should we do? Huh? Revolt against the ruler? Talk bad about him on the minbar? Or spread his ills on Twitter? Or make up lies about him and spread up things that I've, or even if it's true, spread the images of that on Facebook? Is that what we should do? Huh? That's not what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised. That's not what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised. They didn't even make a different jama'ah. Rather, they pray with the same jama'ah. Ahsant. I need to clarify that they're not in opposition to the authority. They're not going against the authority, because whenever one goes against the authority, the outcome is not good. The outcome is not good, not for that person and nor for the society. We look into recent times. I've said this a number of times in the same place. Alhamdulillah. If we look into Syria, we look into Syria. What were they doing? Calling to the street. They're calling to the street, right? Oppressing the rulers, oppressive. Even he was a disbeliever, but they were advised to not revolt against him because he has power, he has authority, he has strength, any military strength, and you have nothing. You have nothing. So they refuse. What do? Go to the street. Now, can you go to the street there? Is there a street there? Have you seen the pictures? There's no street there. You understand? This is sad, Yani, but I'm serious. There's no street there, barakallahu fik. The street's gone. So what's better, to be under this oppressive ruler or this disbelieving ruler, but your street is there though? I mean, you can go outside and walk on the sidewalk. Right? The bread store is still there. You can still go to around the corner and get milk. The masjid is there. Alhamdulillah, we pray Fajr this morning. Nah, there's no street, barakallah. The street's gone. So what about the people who used to live on the street, or the people who live next to the street in the homes? And the homes are gone too. And those souls that were there, they're gone too. And whoever's left from them is left here and there in humiliation and disgrace. In humiliation and disgrace with the other billah. And this is the outcome of this affair. Allah, he mentions, فَلْيَحْذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَارِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُسِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُسِيبَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. That let those who oppose his command, the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take caution, beware, or else a fitna will befall them, or a painful punishment. Inshallah, we continue this topic tomorrow. هَذَا وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.